Our second scripture for this morning is taken from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, beginning with verse 4 of chapter 4. Hear the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You can see them on almost any farm. A few grazing cows and horses that never seem to be content to pasture where they are. They are always there, one or two of them, that will stick their heads through the strands of barbed wire and reach for the grass in the next field. They evidently think that the grass is much greener on the other side of the fence. And aren't people much the same? Many of us are infected by the malady of discontent. We aren't satisfied with what we are, what we have, where we are, or where we're going. We think the grass must be greener somewhere else. Sometimes we are dissatisfied with our jobs. There is the doctor who's unhappy with his profession because he thinks it swallows up all his time. He just can't call his soul his own. He belongs to the cell phone that keeps calling him 24 hours a day. And so he looks at the banker and he says, I wish I had a desk and a swivel chair like that man. Boy, would I love banker's hours, bank holidays, and evenings to myself. The banker sits back and thinks about his wife at home, how easy she has it. She has an automatic dishwasher, a microwave oven, and an electric hypoallergenic vacuum cleaner. Her housework must be a breeze. And anytime she wants, she can stop her work, relax on the couch, and watch the children joyfully at play. That is certainly easier than sitting in a bank worrying about the economy and bad investments. And the wife at home says, oh, if I could only be out in the business world doing something worthwhile. Instead, I have to put up with my kids crying, the dog barking, the doorbell ringing, and the sink running over. If I could only be in an organized office. The discontent we experience in our marriage as well as our jobs, that is something that plagues us at times. Ann Landers had a letter in her column from two young married women. They were dissatisfied with their marriages and had come to the conclusion that they would be happier if they could exchange husbands. But they had a problem. How could they explain the switch of husbands to their children? Ann Landers wrote, "Forget it, girls. The city of contentment is in the state of mind. If you switch husbands, you'll only be changing one set of faults for another. Friends, as long as a husband or wife thinks he or she would be happier living with someone else, you have the makings of perpetual discontent. And the grass is seldom greener on the other side of the fence. What happens in the job and marriage happens also with our possessions. Many of us are so intent on possessing more, a new home, a new car, new clothes, that we can't fully appreciate what we already have. There's a classic story about a farmer who had lived on the same farm all his life, and he thought he'd be happier if he could just move to another location. As long as he entertained the idea of making a change, he kept finding fault with his farm. One day, he hired a professional ad writer to visit the farm and to write a real estate ad for the newspaper. Well, when the ad appeared, the farmer read it and quickly called the newspaper. He said, "Take my ad out of the paper. After reading it, I realize there can't possibly be any better place." In our jobs, in our marriages, with our possessions, we all at times feel discontent, don't we? It's a common problem. The scripture that was read this morning indicates that St. Paul once had his problems of discontent, but he overcame his problem, for he says to the Christians at Philippi, "I have learned in whatever state I am, therein to be content." And the key word there is learned. People don't stumble onto contentment. They have to train themselves to be content. We have to learn to accept ourselves and our friends, our jobs, and the conditions placed upon us until we learn to accept our situation. After we've done all that we can to improve it, we just won't know what contentment is like. St. Paul wasn't without his frustrations. He had them by the hundreds. His partner, Mark, quit on him at a critical time in his work. St. Peter gave him trouble for bringing Gentile converts into the church. And Paul himself was forever getting arrested and put into jail. I suppose there were times when Paul boiled over with anger and foamed with frustration. But eventually he reached a point of maturity at which he experienced lasting contentment. Fretting and fuming will seldom help a situation. Sometimes it's best simply to accept things the way they are and make the best of our circumstances. St. Francis once prayed, "Lord, give me the power to change what can be changed, the grace to accept what cannot be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference." Not everything can be changed. Sometimes we must postpone or even cancel our desires and dreams and cultivate what is positive in the present. There's a story about an airline's pilot who inadvertently left the button down on his intercom microphone. Suddenly, everyone in the passenger compartment heard him say loud and clear, "Ah, if I just had one hand around a good cup of coffee and the other around a good-looking girl, then I'd be content." A pretty stewardess near the back of the plane realized what was happening, and she rushed forward to quiet the pilot before he said anything more. But about halfway up the aisle, a little old lady stopped her and said, "Say, honey, I know you're in a hurry, but you forgot the cup of coffee." Does contentment depend upon getting everything that we've always wanted? If so, then the Apostle Paul would have been a terribly miserable man. But it was while he was in prison, chained to a Roman guard that he said, I have learned the secret of contentment. Contentment is something that happens inside a person. It isn't a woman or a man or something that you can buy. How do you find contentment? First, you can acquire contentment by accepting and making the best of what is happening today. Yesterday is past. Tomorrow may never happen. Only now, today, is yours. And so your job may not be the best in the world, but it happens to be your present job. Why not be content with it and let it bless you? You may not have the best marriage the world has ever known, but by most standards, it's a good marriage. So thank God for it and make it all you can be. You may not have the best house in the neighborhood, but if it is what you can afford, live in that house and love it and be happy with it. Don't be like that dog in Aesop's fable who, when seeing the bone in his mouth reflected in a pool of water, dropped his bone in order to snatch a reflected image. That dog's desire for more made him lose what he had. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Now, not tomorrow. Secondly, contentment comes from knowing you are doing your very best with what you have. The disciples of Jesus failed him many times, and yet our Lord was content to have them as his disciples. Jesus knew what he had done with them was the very best he could do, and he could leave it at that. Contentment with a situation comes in the knowledge that you've done all that you can possibly do. And finally, contentment comes as we learn to lean upon God and not depend ultimately on our own power or understanding. And this is the heart of the matter, to know that your life is being guided by a greater hand, that your hours, days, and years are being lived in His sight, that God is the great shepherd who leads you into green pastures and beside still waters. In this knowledge is perpetual peace, a peace that defies all explanation. It is the peace of God. My peace I leave with you, said Jesus. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. True contentment isn't found in this world in its stores of baubles and goods. It is found in the serenity given by God, who cares, who watches over us. It is found in the knowledge that we belong to Him, that we are precious in His sight, now and forever. Let us pray. Our Father, great shepherd of the sheep, you have placed us in the pasture where we live. Teach us to limit our desires and to keep from longing for greater grass in other places. Use us where we are. O Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Through Christ we pray. Amen.